Good afternoon, everyone. Okay, again, my name is Raina Jones, and I'm a digital health strategist. I work for Northrop Grumman, and I work with federal agencies on their social media strategies. I'm really excited to be here because this is what I do every day, all day long, even personal time. I'm talking about public health, and I'm also talking about how to empower audiences with health information. So this is my thing. This is like Disney World for me right now. If you're going to tweet during the session, my handle is at Raina L. Jones, R-E-Y-N-A-L-J-O-N-E-S. Okay, I want to start off by saying that as public health professionals, the bottom line for what we do is to ultimately change health behaviors, right? But sometimes that lofty goal can far exceed our financial bottom line. So how many of you guys have strained resources? Nobody, right? Yeah. So I want to say that social media offer health communicators new opportunities to influence health behaviors through engagement with target audiences and on important health messages with greater reach and effectiveness. But many of us aren't quite sure just how to use social media for public health. And a lot of times, you know, we have all these questions about, well, does social media really change health behaviors? What platforms should we use? And do we even have the time or the money for this? So I'm here to tell you today that if you invest upfront in an informed strategy, you will achieve a return on investment on your social media strategies. So let's dig in. I have no financial obligations. I think that's what I'm supposed to say. So my overview is that I'm specifically going to talk about how examining the current social media landscape will not only save you time up front, but it will better help you connect with your target audience, identify partners and key influencers, and plan for effective online communication. So, from the first written word to the internet and now social media, communication has become easier, faster, and more connected than ever before. This drawing is from the cartoonist Mike Keith, who may be saying, although technology has advanced the way we communicate, the downside might be in how we're communicating. So the kid at the end says, 140 characters, what more is there to say? But if that's your audience, then you have to know how to reach that person with an empowering message in 140 characters. So it's crucial that we, you know, in this new digital landscape, that, you know, anyone that's interested in communicating to the public about public health understands people's behaviors in it. For example, due to the prevalence of mobile phones, according to a Pew Internet survey, 92% of teens report going online daily. That's including 24% who say they go online almost constantly. And they're not just downloading music and sharing selfies. They're actually looking for health information. According to another study that examined how adolescents use digital tools for health information, 84% said that they turn to the internet for answers to their health questions. Nearly one in three, that's 32%, say that they've changed their behaviors due to this information. So one 16-year-old male said, I've seen a lot of YouTube videos on depression. It's one of the bigger topics that they cover. A 15-year-old white female said, my grandmother has Alzheimer's, and I wanted to learn about it. And a 16-year-old Hispanic male said, I was looking for ways to build muscle, foods to eat, etc. I Googled many different sites, and Pinterest was a big help. So you can see that videos, online search, and social media sites like Pinterest are where teens are. So for public health organizations trying to reach young adults, understanding their digital communication behaviors is crucial, as I said before. And the way that we used to do things with trying to reach people through expensive mass media like TV ads, radio PSAs, billboards, email flyers, those practices are becoming less and less effective in the digital age. And while dissemination of health information has become faster, easier, and cheaper, the increasing number of choices for communication has caused audiences to become even more fragmented, making it challenging for health communicators to reach them. So navigating this new media landscape can be daunting, and knowing exactly where to start can be hard, especially if you're a student who may be social media savvy but not really sure how to apply that knowledge to the public health world. Or maybe you're a state and local health department worker with too much to do and not enough time or money to do it. The good news is you don't need a huge budget, you don't need fancy tools, and you don't need a huge staff to get started. You need a plan, and contrary to popular belief, there is no magic social media strategy. So stop Googling magic social media strategy because it's not going to come up. So an effective social media strategy is developed and integrated into your organization's overall health communication strategy. And so one way you can approach this is in four phases: the assessment phase, the discovery phase, the execution phase, and the evaluation phase. And I'm going to go through each one of these, and we'll have specific points and questions to consider. So, when you assess something, you're determining its value. There are many things you will assess in this phase. You need to start with your audience because they are the most valuable component of your social media strategy. The better you understand your audience and their communication needs and behaviors, the better informed your strategy will be. So let's take a closer look at the communication needs and behaviors of teens and young adults. What is this young woman's preferred method of communication? Mobile phone, right? Did you know that nearly 3/4 of teens have access to a smartphone? Did you know that African American teens are the most likely of any group to have a smartphone? 85% have access to one compared to 71% of both white and Hispanic teens. So how is she communicating? Let's just assume she's texting because, I mean, that's really what teens do anyway on their smartphones, right? So according to a survey, I believe it was a Pew Internet survey, teens send about 30 text messages a day, which I thought that was kind of low. But so where does she spend most of her time online? Remember that 92% of teens report going online daily. What are her social activities? According to Pew, Facebook is still the most popular choice, but teens are also spending a lot of time on Instagram and Snapchat. And how many of you in this room use Instagram? What about Snapchat? Oh my God, like three? Okay. Well, if you're trying to reach an audience on Snapchat, you should be using it yourself at least. So who does she trust? Did you know that while a majority of teens turn to health information, research shows that there's another source that they trust more? Can anyone guess who that might be? Yes, parents. They trust their parents. So knowing that, you'll want to include parents as a target audience in your teen health campaigns. So are you seeing that the more we ask about our audience's communication needs and behaviors, the more informed our strategy could be? So when you know more about your audience, you're not wasting time, energy, or money trying to be in places that they clearly are not. Okay, so how much does it cost to set a goal? Zero. Last time I checked, goal setting didn't cost anything. So your goals are tied to your audience. So if you don't know your audience well, you can't set your goals. So now remember, you have your organization's overall health communication plan handy, and you're integrating your social media strategy in it. So your communication goal could be to increase vaccination rates among young adults. So what would your social media goal be? Because at this point, we know so much about our target audience. We know that we can reach them on Instagram and or Facebook. So why not set a goal of increasing our followers by 10% with a hashtag campaign called IAmTeamVax? I think that sounds like a solid strategy, and I think that that's something that leadership would be more apt to buy into than just letting you set up a Pinterest account or Twitter without a plan behind it. So now we're going to talk about resources and capacity. And some things to consider: who will lead this flu social media campaign? Is your staff knowledgeable about social media, and do they have the experience to get the job done? Or will you put on a social media hat on a staff member with so many other responsibilities? Training can cost money, if not an actual dollar, certainly in time. Partners can be a great way to leverage your resources and capacity. They can also be effective at delivering health messages, better understanding message appropriateness, and channel selection. So, what do you look for in a social partner? I created this equation to help me determine who might be someone I want to partner with. So influence equals size times engagement. So size doesn't matter by itself, because you can have the size, but when you don't have the engagement, you know, your message will not be heard. And on the flip side, if you have the engagement but an audience of one, your message isn't, you know, so impactful. Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., if you come to the exhibit hall, I'm doing a theater session with my co-presenter, and we'll go over some strategic partnership strategies. So if you want to check that out, that's tomorrow at 10 a.m. And I'm going to skip this. So next, what tools do you have in your toolkit? Your tools can range from content sharing of graphics, messages, and engagement activities like Twitter chats, Google Hangouts, to social media ad buying on Facebook, for example, to reach special audiences. Assess whether your messages are culturally relevant, easy to read, visually engaging, and motivate action. And since we're still in the assessment phase and everything here is audience-centric, make sure that your tools are driven by your audience. Okay, so now that you know your audience, you've set your goals, and you determine the tools to reach them, you are now ready for the discovery phase. When you discover something new, you learn something new. So what's the best way to learn something? Starts with an L. Listen. Is that you, Joan? Good job. So during this phase is where you'll want to listen to the social conversation to understand what is being said about your topics and who's saying and who's talking about them. Listening will ensure that you know exactly where your audience is and when to reach them. You don't want to show up in an empty university library because you thought that that's where students go to study, when actually they're back in their dorm rooms, under their blanket, on Snapchat, sharing video texts with their project team. So listening will help you determine in real time if you are performing well and where you need to optimize your efforts. Listening has never been easier thanks to an abundance of social listening tools, and there are lots of free ones out there. Hootsuite is most commonly used. It's a social media management tool that covers multiple social networks, including Twitter, Facebook, Google+, etc. It's great for pre-scheduling messages to go out automatically and delegating tasks when you have multiple people working on message dissemination. Tweet reach will show you potentially how many people saw your tweet. So when you send it out, it'll calculate how many people probably saw it, you know, as well as it'll count your retweets and it'll give you comments and all of that. So Clout is a good tool that I use to identify some influencers. And once you've identified influencers, you can connect with them by following them and retweeting their messages. And also, these other tools, I mean, they do similar things. And tomorrow during our exhibit, we can go through some of these if you guys have any questions about them. Okay. All right. So this is your moment of truth. This is the execution phase. Some questions to consider here include, how will you collect and analyze your data? Most social media platforms provide analytics on your activities, such as Twitter or Pinterest analytics or Facebook insights, or even more broad-based metrics like Sysmos and Radian6. But those last two cost money. So I would encourage you to leverage your partner's resources. So if they are using those expensive analytics tools, then certainly after you participate in an activity with them, certainly feel free to ask them to run reports for you. So during this phase, oh, this is my execution phase. Somehow I messed up. No one caught that? Okay, I guess I must have missed a, let me back up a little bit. So in the execution phase, this is where you're doing all your work. You've done your metric development, you promoted, you need to decide, you know, who's going to do the monitoring, how are you going to monitor. Monitoring is really essential. When I launch a campaign, I dedicate about 30 minutes a day to look for trends, to identify influencers, and to revise my strategy if something's not working. And then I just repeat. Okay, so here we are with the evaluation phase. So, like I was saying, this is the phase where you determine what worked, what didn't. So, you know, were your key performance indicators met? And by that, by key performance indicators, I mean the number of likes, shares, followers. The evaluation phase will help you track progress against your social media goals, identify what's working well, areas you need to improve, and it will provide visibility of the health impact caused by your social media activities. So developing and implementing a social media strategy can be daunting, can seem daunting, it's not daunting, don't be afraid, and labor-intensive, but it doesn't have to be. Let your audience drive your strategy. I'll end with this if you don't remember anything else. Start with a strategic versus a tactical approach. And we all know what that means. That means don't start with the tool. Start with a plan. Next, don't try to be everywhere. Choose one or two platforms, create key messages, and schedule for consistent message delivery. Thank you.